I heard that, perhaps like many of you, I'm not sure if you had the same response, but aquaponics, oh, that sounded very exotic, and I'd like to find out more about what exactly aquaponics is, and no better person to do that for us this evening and discuss issues around aquaponics than Martin Fick. He is the Managing Director of Practical Aquaponics here in South Africa. He is also Managing Director of many other companies and owner of many other companies. He established Homegrown Practical Aquaponics, or HPA, in 2012 as a division of his farming business, and the intention there was to design, supply and install cost-effective, sustainable and chemical-free food production systems in the South African region. And his company strives to be the leader and preferred supplier of modular aquaponic systems, components and know-how, with the goal of empowering people to produce their own healthy food. And he has a very interesting story, being forced to leave Zimbabwe because of political upheaval in 2002, coming down to the Eastern Cape. He's dealt with the ostrich markets and ostrich farming as well. He's been in other parts of the country like Delmas, etc. So very interesting story. I'd like to him to share more of that story with us as we continue with this discussion this evening. And I'm sure, although we'll hear his take on this, the fact that aquaponics is going to become more mainstream might be something that would be music for his ears. Let's hear from Martin himself this evening. Martin, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Ibrahim. Good evening, listeners.
Martin, you know, before we can even go aquaponics, I just hinted at some aspects of your story. In some ways, it seems very adventurous, some ways thrilling, but I can imagine at junctures of that particular story, I'm hearing Zimbabwe there, that there could be a lot of heartbreak involved as well. Just in a nutshell, where did you start your connection with agriculture, and where are you now?
Ibrahim, brought up, we talk about institutional memory. I was brought up on a farm in Zimbabwe. I'm a fourth generation Zimbabwean, and we grew up on a farm, and we had developed a whole range of agricultural production systems in Zimbabwe post-independence, where we had a number of advantages, especially in regard to exports to Europe. So Zimbabwe has a very small domestic market, and most producers in Zimbabwe are geared towards export. And so we channeled a lot of our effort into fruit and veg production, and started a lot of fruit and vegetable production after having qualified in agriculture. We did exports to Tesco's in London, mainly horticultural produce, things like watermelons and various other horticultural products as well. We also did passion fruit and passion fruit juices. We did pecan nuts. We had about 150 hectares of pecan nuts. And eventually I ended up running a lot of cattle operations, and we're doing cattle exports to Europe under the hormone-free treaty, the Lancaster House Treaty, where we were allowed to export beef into the EU under the Lancaster House Agreement. And so the scope of my agricultural experience was quite broad, in that we had a multiple income streams from vegetable production intensively, mainly hydroponic and field operation, field production, so in the ground, and then also cattle operations where we did exports. We exported sheep and goats as well to the United Arab Emirates. We did a lot of agricultural work, had a staff of over 300 qualified and skilled staff. And then, what happened was we had the land invasions and the takeovers, and some very well-connected politician identified that our ship was worth stealing, if I can put it that way. And I ended up being beaten up, and we lost pretty much everything we had there, and came across to South Africa to start again. So that's pretty much a short version. We did have the privilege, in a way, of forgiving those people who had harmed us, and so we came to South Africa with without any bitterness, and were able to really start again, and actually got involved and built an empowerment program here for small-scale farmers as well. So Yeah.
And when I listened to that part of the story, Mark, you talk about many different types of farming. I didn't necessarily hear you speak about aquaponics at that particular stage. Is that essentially something that has arisen during your stay in South Africa?
I was always passionate about fish. So aquaculture was something that I studied as a youngster, but never really aquaponics as such. So hydroponics, yes. It was only in 2006 when I was part of a Dutch-funded team of experts under NAFIC that was doing small-scale farmer development programs and focusing on capacity building, where I was appointed as the resident expert for South Africa in that field by the Dutch team, that I met a Dutch professor, a professor Jan Ulfman, who introduced me to the concept of aquaponics. And he said to me, "Do you know what aquaponics is?" And I said to him, "Jan, I'm not sure. I don't know what it is." And he said to me, "Well, you need to wake up, because the world will move towards more efficient and cleaner food production technologies in the future, and aquaponics is the leading one." So I was intrigued at that time, and I thought, wow, something I don't know about. And at that time, I'm an agricultural consultant working in South Africa, and I didn't really know anything about aquaponics, as many people still don't know much about it. It's quite an undisclosed subject. Not a lot of people actually know about it. And to be honest with you, the mainstream industry that has any income from agriculture, as it is right now, the value chain as such, is not really interested in the promotion of aquaponics, because aquaponics enables us to grow food without the use of chemicals in an environment where we don't need to plow the lands or cut down trees, and we're able to grow at a small scale level and then at a commercial level as well. So it's not something that's generally promoted and not something that's widely advertised.
Yeah, and interestingly then, 13 years or just over a decade later, you are leading the charge in aquaponics, teaching many other people, empowering many other people, and an expert in your own right in aquaponics. Let's take a step back though, Mark. These terms that we're bending about here, hydroponics, aquaculture, aquaponics, just put it all in perspective for us.
Okay, fine. So let me just say that Practical Aquaponics recently signed a collaboration agreement with Rhodes University, and we are the official research and business collaborative associates for Rhodes University in aquaponics, and a lot of the lecturers and students doing masters and PhD degrees come and do their work with us. So we are really leading the field in terms of research and in terms of system development at a level that works, because for us, a lot of the future in aquaponics revolves around risk, and we want to be sure that what we advise people to do doesn't lead them into greater risk. So let me start off by just answering your question, what's the difference between the three different disciplines, by saying that aquaponics is by far the most complex way of producing food. And when I say that, I'm referring to the fact that it has a number of variables that impact viability. So it's not something that has generally been taken on by the mainstream agriculture, because it has been perceived to be full of risk. The system is a biological system. It's like an ecosystem, and it recirculates its water. So it's using the same water over and over and over in a recirculating system. And there are certain nutrients which are liberated in that system by fish. Fish are producing ammonia and other nutrients. Those nutrients have to pass through certain filters where bio-nutrient conversion takes place. The nutrients are converted from a non-bioavailable form into a bioavailable form. And that process is quite technical. In fact, it's very, very scientific. And we're currently working with Rhodes University at identifying the specific groups of bacteria, microbes, fungi, and other organisms, heterotrophs and autotrophs, involved in driving that process. So it's really a biological approach to food production. In contrast to that, we have, let's call it, hydroponics. Hydroponics is really quite a common and quite a popular approach to food production, where one takes plants, you grow them in water, and you you've put in a chemical, normally an inorganic form of soluble chemical fertilizer, into the water. The plants are able to draw that nutrient up and produce fruit, and they perform very well, very, very well. So two main issues with hydroponics. The first one is that once you've given the plants the nutrient that they want, the remaining nutrient in that water is now no longer palatable to the plants, and you then have to discard it. You have to pump it out into the environment. So large hydroponic systems have to get an EIA, an environmental impact assessment, because they will be pumping effluent, contaminated water, back into the environment. That also infers that you're using a large amount of water. You're applying water to the plants, the plants use what they need, and then the remaining water is discarded. Now, there needs to be a treatment there of that water, and there's a huge amount of legislation that governs what can and can't be done, and as a result, a cost to the production in an hydroponic system, which must be taken into account when you are doing your sums to say, is this system viable? So bear that in mind. Hydroponics is the production of plants in water using normally inorganic nutrient forms, and you are then supplying the plants with nutrients. And if you have a disease outbreak or a pest infestation, you then deal with those pests and diseases in the normal way by spraying normal chemicals. So organophosphates and various other chemicals are used to deal with those pests and diseases. Fungicides, etc., are all used. Now, the distinction between that and aquaponics is that because in an aquaponic system we're using a natural system, we are using fish as the engine to generate organic nutrients, so there is no inorganic nutrient in an aquaponic system. We then cannot at any point use any harmful chemicals to spray any pest or disease on that system, because it will sabotage that system and actually destroy its integrity. And so you can't spray any chemicals on an aquaponic system, which means that for a customer who's buying food or wants to eat food, the safest food to buy would be aquaponic food, because it's produced in an environment where you are prohibited by the system from spraying any harmful chemicals. So what that means is that in an aquaponic system, we're able to sell food that's grown without the use of chemicals. And that's not something that needs to be policed, because the system polices itself. If you spray any chemicals on there, you kill the fish and the microbes that make the system work, and therefore you are basically shooting yourself in the foot, cutting off your own throat. So you can't use chemicals in an aquaponic system, which means you need to know how to deal with pests and diseases, and that's part of the technicality and the complexity involved and in the work that we do, especially in training and teaching people how to actually farm in a natural environment using natural methods to deal with pests and diseases, how to grow crops that are appropriate for that environment, for that media, for that substrate. So some plants, for example, will grow well with their roots in water. Others need an anchor. Others need media. Others can grow in air with a little bit of mist. So there's a whole lot of technical information that needs to come in to teach people what can and can't be done. Now, the other one then you mentioned was aquaculture. And aquaculture is primarily the production of fish in a closed loop, or either in an open or a closed loop environment. Closed loop fish production is normally referred to as recirculating aquaculture system, or an RAS system. And it's the main advantage of that is we are recirculating the water. But the problem with that is that fish in concentration produce nutrient in concentration, and one needs to deal with that nutrient, that otherwise it becomes toxic and actually poisons the fish and destroys the integrity of the system again. So one needs to understand biofiltration and bioremediation of water in order for recirculating systems to work. And that's really where aquaponics comes in. It uses the downside, in a sense, of aquaculture, where fish are producing toxic nutrient, and it turns that toxic nutrient into a valuable, viable nutrient source to grow plants. So we're taking a waste product from the fish side, we're growing plants with it, which we can generate high value from, because it's chemical free and it's grown without the use of any preservatives or fungicides or pesticides or herbicides and that sort of thing. So essentially, that's the primary difference.
Mm, it's all extremely fascinating, and I'm sure many South Africans are going to now be exposed to that as time goes forward. It would be a fascinating story. Just time is forcing me to fast-track some of the issues, but you know, to understand where did this entire system originate and who actually came up with the idea of aquaponics. But I won't go there now. I just want to ask you a few quick questions, Martin. The one being that, what are the kind of crops currently being grown by aquaponics, and does it have the capacity, this system of agriculture, to mass produce as markets are demanding?
Abraham, I think one of the things we need to take cognizance of is that the way people eat is also changing. What they eat is also changing. There is quite a big shift away from starches and grains in many cultures. But for those where starches and grains are the staple, I don't personally believe that we can mass produce maize or corn or wheat or that kind of thing in an aquaponic system. It is more a nutrient-dense vegetable which is coming out of aquaponics. Not to say that you can't grow wheat or maize or barley in aquaponics, you can, but the volumes required mean that you would need very big aquaponic systems, and that is generally not feasible. So we find that it is normally high value crops and vegetables, fruiting crops, things like tomatoes, brinjals, peppers, green peppers, chilies, lettuce, kale, broccoli. Those kind of vegetables are generally what do best in an aquaponic system. You've also got the herbs, all your thymes and marjoram and celery, parsley, basil. Those are all very, very good crops to grow. Dania, for example, grows extremely well in aquaponic systems. So that's where we go. We also incorporate wicking beds in our approach, where we are also able to grow things like potatoes and carrots, for example. So there are a number of other add-ons which we bring into the system, but we're still using the water that's emanating from the fish, which has no chemical or inorganic nutrient source in it.
When we had the president mentioning this in the State of the Nation, and obviously you know the subject far better than him as well, he mentioned this in terms of the skills of the future and part of, you know, taking South Africa into a new era. What does this particular mode of agriculture have to offer different, and how does it cause the nation and people who practice this to actually progress?
I think it has major advantages. One of the main ones is that to do aquaponics, you don't need land. You can farm aquaponics in the township, in your backyard in a township. You can put up a little aquaponics unit. You don't actually need land to produce in an aquaponic environment. You don't need a big reserve of water. You are recirculating your water. You're able to harvest water off the roof of your house. And so rural environments where you can use small energy systems off the sun, you run solar panels, and you're able to run self-sustainable and sustainable, environmentally sustainable systems that are able to produce food at home for people right in an urban environment. So that, I think, has a huge amount of leverage and a lot of power to transform the way that people actually grow food and see food, and the way that the world will move in the future in terms of the way food is perceived.
We had this announcement, you know, the inclusion in the school curriculum. Were you expecting it? Did you, you know, from your vantage position here, chat about this before, your thoughts about the announcement and how this needs to actually proceed from a logistical point of view to ensure that the benefits that can come out from teaching aquaponics in schools are fully realized?
Well, to be honest with you, we've been working with the Western Cape Department of Agriculture for the last 7 months, where we were approached by the Western Cape Department of Agriculture, and they said to us, we've been given the mandate to drive aquaponics as a subject. We're looking for a curriculum. We're looking for subject matter. We're looking for systems, proven systems. And let me make that distinction. There are lots of systems out there on the internet that are not working. We are supplying proven systems. And yeah, that's where we're at. And the Western Cape Education Department has been on that one for a while. So I've kind of been expecting it, but I honestly didn't expect it to come through in the state of the national address.
Do you think, you know, there still needs to be a lot of groundwork that needs to occur, or we still need to see some of the plans? Teachers themselves have to be trained, the necessary equipment needs to be in order before this can, you know, be fully rolled out?
Absolutely. You know, as I say, we're training the lecturers and people at Rhodes University and other universities, NMFU and Stellenbosch, they come to us for training, and then the education from there needs to progress downwards. So the rolling out of education to facilitators at schools is going to be a priority, and then the implementation of systems that are proven. We don't just want to hack something. We want to use systems and designs that are proven so that the system doesn't fail. And then from there, learners are obviously learning.
So obviously, from your side, you've developed a lot of the systems, you've implemented it at various levels, but when we're talking about schooling particularly, as it would appear, there still needs to be some a lot of work to do. It's work in progress before we can fully realize the benefits there. Just in conclusion, Mark, there's so much more about this fascinating topic, and I'm sure we'd explore it further in the future. Just from your side, practical aquaponics, you're involved in research, you also build these units, you do the training. Just a nutshell of the work that you do, and if people want to plug into the world of aquaponics through what you offer, how do they do it?
I think the best portal is directly through our website. We've got a homepage, a training page, and then various systems which are shown on there, proven systems. And as I say, we've been going for about 9 years at a commercial level. I've written a book on aquaponics. We run comprehensive training courses and intermediate training courses as well. Those are shown also on our website. There is a massive demand for training, and so the courses that we advertise are generally booked up way in advance. So if one does want to get on, one needs to make that booking quite quickly. But practicalaquaponics.co.za, that would be the portal that I would advise to people to contact us on. We've also got a Facebook page called Homegrown Practical Aquaponics, and you can have a look at our stuff there. A lot of the current training and research work is posted on Facebook. We've got an Instagram page as well. But so social media is really the best way to channel in. We've got an affiliate branch in Joburg starting up. We've got an affiliate branch in Cape Town, and we're looking at other branches across the country at the moment. But key to that is that we need educated facilitators. You can't just take anybody and put them into that role. They need to know what we're talking about and why we're doing what we're doing. So we have very, very good reasons for doing things the way that we do.
Martin, it's been fascinating speaking to you. It's certainly a subject of the future, something that is already showing its enormous potential, but its real potential, I guess, will be realized as we go forward. And in that sense, I guess, a very practical step here from the government to actually have considered aquaponics and rolling it out to our new generation. Thank you so much for speaking to us once again. We direct everybody who has any further queries about aquaponics to that website, practicalaquaponics.co.za. Thank you so much, Martin.
Yeah, I applaud the government. I applaud the government for the inclusion of aquaponics, the president in mentioning this, because it is really very, very good to see this futuristic approach toward food technology.
Lovely, Martin. Great speaking to you. Have a great week ahead. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.